regular council meeting of Monday, November 6th, 2006, the Mesa City Council. We are excusing the mayor. He is out of the country this evening, and he will be returning in a few days, but in the interim, we will just proceed with this meeting. We have an invocation this evening by Senior Pastor Mary Bullis of the Red Mountain United Methodist Church, and then a Pledge of Allegiance by Jamin Cox. Is Pastor Bullis here? Excellent. Would you please stand and remain standing for the prayer and the pledge?
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this evening with thankful hearts for all that you have given us. We've received blessings beyond measure. We live in a wonderful city, in a wonderful state, in a wonderful nation, and in a wonderful world. May we never forget how blessed we are and that all things come from you. May we make wise use of all that you have given us, and may we make wise decisions about all that you have entrusted to our care. We lift to you tonight, O God, the City Council, the staff, and the leadership of this great city of Mesa. Fill them with your wisdom, guide them by your Spirit, direct them in their decision-making. In all that we do, help us to remember our children and the needs of future generations, and keep us ever mindful of the most vulnerable among us. And, O God, on this eve of Election Day, may we pause to celebrate our democracy and our freedom to cast a vote. Weary as we are of all the phone calls and the commercials, we stop to give thanks that we can indeed vote without coercion or fear of violence or reprisal. May all who are elected tomorrow govern well and work together for the common good, that we might truly be a nation of liberty and justice for all. Grant us now your courage and your peace. Amen.
Thank you, Jamin. If you just want to come right up here, lead us in the pledge.
May everybody please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Jamin is from Troop 256 from Field Elementary School and is in sixth grade. Thank you for being here tonight and doing that. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate that prayer. I thought perhaps that phone call in the middle of it was somebody getting called to get out the vote. I know I've had probably 10 get out the vote calls today at my house. We'd like to move on to the mayor's welcome, and this is on tape, so if y'all just want to sit back and pull out your popcorn, you can take a look at it.
Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting. Thank you for your interest and participation in the City of Mesa. At this time, please turn off or select the vibrate option on all cell phones or pagers while the meeting is in progress. If you would like to speak on any items, please fill out one of the blue cards located in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. You also may ask for an item to be removed from the consent agenda. Items on the consent agenda are read into the record and voted on in one motion. On zoning cases, comments from citizens are made after the applicant presents their case, and we ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. At the end of tonight's meeting, under items from citizens present, there is an opportunity for 3 citizens to speak on any issue with a maximum of 3 minutes each. When the mayor calls your name, please step up to the podium, state your name, and address and make your comments. The timer on the wall to the right of the City Council will keep track of your time.
There's V8, kind of like a V8.
The City of Mesa operates under a council district system with the mayor elected at large. The mayor of Mesa is Keno Hawker, serving his second term. There are 6 districts in Mesa, and here are your elected council members. In District 1, Vice Mayor Claudia Walters represents Northwest Mesa. In District 2, Mike Whalen represents Central and South Central Mesa. In District 3, Tom Rawls represents Southwest Mesa. In District 4, Kyle Jones represents Downtown Mesa and the area south of downtown. In District 5, Rex Griswold represents Northeast Mesa. And in District 6, Scott Summers represents Southeast Mesa. Information about your council members in the City of Mesa is available online at www.cityofmesa.org. All City Council meetings are broadcast live and then rebroadcast on Mesa Channel 11. To view the programming schedule, log on to mesachannel11.com.
Okay, one of the most important parts of that was that there are these blue cards back by the door. If there's an item that you came here to speak on, please get a blue card, fill it out, and turn it in over here to the city where the city clerk is. In a second, Kim West is going to be reading the consent agenda for us. If there's something that you wanted to have pulled off of the consent agenda to speak on, you need to get that in before the council votes on it. Kim?
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out the blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Vice Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A has been added to the consent agenda. Take action on appointment of the acting council appointed city auditor. Item 5A, take action on liquor license for St. Bridget's Catholic Church for a one-day religious event. Item 5B, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for November 17, 2006 event. Item 5C, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for December 1, 2006 event. Item 5D, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for December 22, 2006 event. Item 5E, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for January 5, 2007 event. Item 5F, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for January 19, 2007 event. Item 5G, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for February 9, 2007 event. Item 5H, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for February 23, 2007 event. Item 5I, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for March 8, 2007 event. Item 5J, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for March 16, 2007 event. Item 5A, K, take action on liquor license for Back to School Clothing Drive Association for March 23, 2007 event. Item 5L, take action on new beer and wine store license for Mesa Superstation, 1560 South Gilbert Road. Item 5M, take action on new restaurant license for Basil, 2015 North Power Road. Item 5N, take action on new restaurant license for Silky's American Grill, 2036 North Gilbert Road. Item 5O, take action on new restaurant license for Viewpoint Restaurant, 8700 East University Drive. Item 6B, take action on contract for computer network equipment, $433,190.45. Item 6C, take action on contract for computer security software, $71,906.93. Item 6D, take action on contract for two replacement and one addition trucks with roll-off refuse systems, $533,745.51. Item 6E, take action on contract for one replacement front-loading refuse truck, $268,359.74. Item 6F, take action on three-year supply contract for barricade rental services, $1,480,000 annually. Item 6G, take action on contract for Ellsworth Sulfide Control Station improvements, $43,510.50. Item 6H, take action on contract for City Well Number 22 site improvements, $129,250. Item 6I, take action on contract for property insurance. Item 6J, take action on contract for excess liability insurance. Item 6K, take action on contract for aviation insurance. Item 7A, introduce ordinance for November 20th, amending Mesa City Tax Code. Item 7B, introduce ordinance for November 20th, amending Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 7C, Energy Ordinance for November 20th, Annexation Case A06-14, Annexing Land on Main Street, east of Ellsworth. Item 7D, Energy Ordinance for November 20th, Annexation Case A06-20, Annexing Land on southeast corner of Brown and Rucker Roads. Item 7E, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Annexation Case A06-16, Annexing Land on southwest corner of Thomas and Belvista. Item 7F, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-56, 5750 East Main Street for Townhome Subdivision. Item 7G, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-59, 5000 South Ellsworth Road for a rezone. Item 7H, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-68, 6400 South Mountain Road for Light Industrial Facility. Item 7I, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-73, 3400 North Belvista Drive for a rezone. Item 7J, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-75, 4400 South Mountain Road for a subdivision. Item 7K, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-77, 2550 South Ellsworth Road for a manufactured home community. Item 7L, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-80, 7400 East Southern Avenue for industrial condominiums. Item 7M, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-81, 240 North Power Road for new retail store building. Item 7N, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-82, 824 West Broadway Road for industrial buildings. Item 7O, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-83, 7000 East Elliott Road for a subdivision. Item 7P, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-85, 525 South Gilbert Road, Suites A7 through A11 to allow a bar in C2 zoning. Item 7Q, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, Zoning Case Z06-86, 8400 East McKellops Road for a rezone. Item 7R, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, amending Mesa City Code to increase the court capital construction fee. Item 7S, Introduce Ordinance for November 20th, amending Section 23C of Terms and Conditions for the Sale of Utilities. Item 8B, Take Action Resolution for Landscape and Irrigation Maintenance for Portions of the Red Mountain Freeway. Item 8C, Take Action Resolution to Establish a New Monthly Open Tie-Down Fee for Airport Users. Item 8D, Take Action Resolution vacating portions of alley located north of 2042, 2048, and 2056 East Fountain Street. Item 8E, Take Action on Resolution vacating portion of alley located next to 948 East 8th Street. Item 8F, Take Action Resolution to extinguish a waterline easement at 78th Street and Baseline Road. Item 8G, Take Action Resolution vacating an alley between West 6th Street and West 7th Street between Robeson and Grand. Item 8H, Take Action Resolution authorizing the use of eminent domain at Gilbert and University. Item 8I, Take Action Resolution vacating an alley between 6th Place and East 7th Street between Olive and Horn. Item 8J, Take Action Resolution granting a high voltage easement to SRP. Item 8K, Take Action Resolution for the administration of grants to Mesa Public Schools and Mesa Arts Center. Item 8L, Take Action Resolution for the reimbursement of a regional oversized water line and street improvements. Item 8M, Take Action Resolution for the development of the Paragon properties. Item 8N, Take Action Resolution to grant sale of city-owned property, 3300 block of East McDowell Road. Item 8O, Take Action Resolution to dedicate right-of-way along city-owned property, 3200 to 3300 East McDowell Road. Item 9B, Take Action Ordinance amending Title IV of the Mesa City Code regarding building permit applications. Item 9C, Take Action on Ordinance amending Title 11 of the Mesa City Code regarding building permit applications. Item 9D, Take Action on Ordinance amending the Mesa City Code regarding off-site improvements. Item 9E, Take Action on Ordinance amending the Mesa City Code regarding the Council Finance Committee. Item 9F, Take Action on Ordinance creating new chapter of the Mesa City Code regarding city auditor position. Item 9G, Take Action on Ordinance, Annexation Case A06-10, Annexing Land on Broadway Road, East and Chrisman. Item 9H has been added to the consent agenda. Take Action on Ordinance, Zoning Case Z06-63, 310 North Alma School Road for a daycare center. Item 9I, Take Action Ordinance, Zoning Case Z06-70-7932, East Broadway Road for a rezone. Item 9J, take action on ordinance zoning case 06-71, 8222 East Broadway Road for a rezone. Item 9K, take action on ordinance zoning case 06-74, 8200 East Germain Road for RV mini storage facility. Item 9L, take action on ordinance zoning case 06-69, 8200 East Pecos Road to allow light industrial and commercial. Item 10A, take action subdivision plat, Villages at Country Club, amended, 1367 South Country Club Drive. Mayor and council members, these were the items on the consent agenda.
Need any oxygen, Kim? Thank you. All right. Were there any requests to remove any of those items from the consent agenda?
Yes, Vice Mayor, I have one. It's agenda item 5O. It's at the bottom of page 4, the Viewpoint Restaurant.
Okay, then we'll take that off the consent agenda. Are there any council requests to remove any additional items from the consent agenda? Okay, was there anyone who came tonight who wanted to remove one of the items from the consent agenda? Because in a second, they're going to get passed with one motion. Okay. Then I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Is there any discussion on this? Seeing none, would you please vote? The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor absent. We'll move to the next item, which is on page 2, item 3.1. This is discuss and take action on the following appointments. And I'm assuming we're going to take them. You know what? Let's give everybody a minute to leave. And this is a great opportunity for the camera to pan around and see that we have some Boy Scouts here. And that way your Scoutmaster will know that you actually came. Yeah, that cheer was good. That was a Cub Scout cheering, wasn't it? This will just give us a minute so we can have it a little quieter in here. And then we'll move on to item 3.1A, which is to discuss and take action on the appointment of Debbie Dollar as Assistant City Manager. Mr. Brady, before I turn this over to you for a minute, I just a couple of things. First of all, I know that there was some confusion, and I want to clear this up on all of these. Debbie Spinner, why does the City Council vote on these when these are appointments by the City Manager, and the City Manager is responsible for the positions other than the ones that are council hired? I know that traditionally we have voted on the fire chief, the police chief, and assistant and deputy city managers, but I'm not sure what it is that triggers that. Could you tell us, please?
Yes, Vice Mayor, the charter says that city officers will be appointed by recommendation of the council and approval. I'm sorry, recommendation by the city manager and approval of the council. So city officers, there's no definition of that in the charter, but it has historically been the deputies and the department managers.
Okay, so that's the historic, that's where the history comes in. That helps. And the second thing is, just so everyone knows, I know that at least one person talked to me about this and there was some confusion about it. The city manager meets with the members of the city council individually at least once a month, and we go over the plans that he has, and he tells us what he's working on and asks us if we have any concerns. We tell him things that we have concerns about that we'd like him to work on. And so this information came to me in my meeting with our city manager probably about a month and a half ago. Is that about right, Chris? Something like that. And he told me what he'd been working on and he was thinking about. And so at that time, I had the opportunity to give him feedback. And I'm assuming that every other council member had that same opportunity. So there wasn't a special council meeting that everybody missed where it got discussed. It was done. We had one-on-one meetings, and Mr. Brady, we hired to be over the organization of the city. That's the way the city was set up when the city charter was formed. And so I just wanted that explanation out on the table before we did this. Now, Mr. Brady, before I say nice things about these people, do you want to say something?
Sure,
moving on
thank
to 3.1A.
Sure, and there's a lot of good things to say about these individuals. First of all, let me just let the council know I appreciate your support, as really this is my first opportunity to make some what I would consider significant changes within the organization since I arrived here in January. And part of the focus of why we're talking to the council about these three positions as required by the charter for your approval, but certainly there's a lot of other changes that are taking place in the organization itself. But what you will see being proposed here with these names really represents the beginning process, which I think will move Mesa in a forward direction, allowing us to establish the goal of really creating some very strong leadership within this organization. That when I talk about strong leadership, I don't just talk about character, but I talk about experience. I talk about their ability to work in a very diverse organization at very different levels on a variety of different topics. And the organization that you see here, as my emphasis has always been, is to really to continue to do more with less, to continue to focus on customer service, and really to continue to put Mesa in a position where it can really compare, as a 40th largest city, compare with peer cities of its size. And I think that's what you'll see as the appointment of Debbie Dollars as an assistant city manager reporting directly to me, and then having the assignment of the day-to-day responsibilities of the organization. She will have assigned under her four deputy city managers. The city currently has two deputy city managers. And it's been my experience. I've been very impressed with two individuals that I will now appoint upon the approval of council as deputy city managers, Brian Raines and Jack Friedline. As you know, Paul Winbert will continue to serve in the capacity of deputy city manager, which he holds today, and then he will be has announced his retirement in March, and so we'll have to make that replacement at that time. So anyway, I do appreciate the council's support on this reorganization. And of course, there are many other things that are happening throughout the organization and changes, and I think we have some great talent within this organization, mixed with I think some opportunities to bring in some new perspectives and new talent, as we did with the police chief. And so we'll look for a combination of those that I think will really move this organization forward in a positive way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Ms. Spinner, do we act on these individually or collectively? Or
Vice Mayor, I would recommend you act on them individually. The charter doesn't spell that out, but that's always the safest method.
Then we will act on it individually. Before we do that, we have one request to speak, and that is from Marilyn Winterstrom. Marilyn? I think you know how this all works, so come on up. It's still 3 minutes.
It's unfortunate that this was just put on the website last Friday afternoon and the flowchart. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have had to be here. I would have found out the answers to my questions before that. I had emailed all of you on what boxes the asking where the Mesa City Cemetery was in the Southwest Museum and the Museum for Youth, and I talked to a parks person this afternoon that said the cemetery would be under parks, recreation, and commercial facilities, and the other museums would be under this arts and cultural to be headed by a person who will be replacing Jerry Fathauer. On the news release, it says the city's two airport operations will become part of the Economic Development Department upon selection of a new department director. But the proposed organization chart has Falcon Field under Deputy City Manager Jack Friedline and Williams Gateway in a separate box under Economic Development, headed by someone else. And does this mean, answer when I'm finished here, that we can expect yet another organization chart when a new economic development director is hired? Somebody had apprised me of, and I had remembered it some time ago, I also sent you an email on this, that it's traditional in city organization charts to have the citizens of Mesa across the top, and I think that it was like that in the 1970s when I first started becoming interested in city government. I don't know what happened to the chart that used to be on Jim Petrie's wall, you know, that had it that way, and I think it would just be a good symbol to return that. This isn't IBM or something, you know. So the thing I think it's wise to watch out for is the Peter Principle thing about people rising to the highest level of their incompetence. I'm seeing some people here that are in positions that are overseeing departments that I had understood would be kind of foreign to them. For example, I asked Jack Friedline before if he was going to be taking a crash course in libraries. He came here as the solid waste director. Under facilities management, I wanted to know what does it do and how does that differ from commercial facilities? This is facilities management is in a box underneath the Parks, Rec, and Commercial Facilities. What is facilities management? We've learned a new word. I don't know where it came from, maybe Wisconsin or Iowa, but this word silos, department silos. You know, I thought that's interesting. You used it, you were quoted, and he did too. Over on the right-hand side, there's a mayor and council support box under Jim Hewling. I think that should be moved to the very top, just along with the city clerk, city attorney, and everything. When districting, before districting was finally passed, that was the big fear that, oh, my gosh, we're going to have all these, all kinds of bureaucrats. And, you know, under, but you people, I don't know how you do it. With the notebooks that you have individually, with no staff that you can call your own, I don't mean a staff of five or eight like the Los Angeles City Council has, but just one person that's accountable to you.
Marilyn?
Yeah.
These are great questions. No. Your time is up. No. How about if we let Chris answer the ones you've got, and if there's some more, we'll stay and answer them?
Yeah. I think that's just about all I had to say anyway. The this empty deputy city manager thing, it just looks kind of like we're just building and building and building a bureaucracy.
Thank you. Chris, would you like to take some of those?
Sure. Remind the council that this is an organization that will look just like most other large cities, our peers. It will look like a Dallas. It'll look like a Phoenix. It'll look like a Chandler, a Glendale, a San Antonio. So this is really the format that you will see that is adopted throughout most major cities throughout the country. When I became an assistant city manager, I had never been a co-compliance officer or a doctor, but I was asked to supervise those departments. I was asked to I've never taken a police officer training course or put out a fire. Well, maybe my backyard. But at the same time, I was asked to supervise those very important and large departments. And what I think made me qualified, what makes Debbie, Brian, and Jack qualified is while they came up and had some very specific experiences, they've also demonstrated that they are good managers, that they have a strong skill set that can be applied throughout the organization. And I think it's about time that Jack learns more about libraries. I think there's some things that he can, he assures me he does have a library card, and so that was part of his requirement. But I think that Jack certainly has a lot of skills in organization. He has one of the best organized departments. They understand what's going in that department from performance measures and from their financial side. And I think that those kind of skills and his ability to deal with people will make him a strong manager and help contribute significantly to the library. And as I told the deputies, don't get comfortable with your departments, because I expect every 2 years or so the department assignments will change. And again, this is something that most cities do, because those at deputy city manager want to have that broad base of experience. They are strong general managers, and they want to demonstrate they can do that. So Parks and Recreation, Commercial Facilities is a great combination, because Red Evans just happens to have a master's degree in Parks and Recreation. And there's a lot of synergy that will take place between the activities that he oversees today, maintaining softball fields and baseball fields for professionals that he can also use in some of our other fields. So we think there's a lot of great opportunities here. It also gives our managers below an opportunity to know that they can move around the organization if they can show and demonstrate their strong leadership skills, and that there will be opportunities that they can take advantage of.
Thank you. We have a motion by let me make one more comment. I saw Marilyn's email, and I really did like that notion of going back to showing the citizens of Mesa at the top of the chart. It was something I had mentioned.
Yeah, and I don't think that there was no intention to leave that off. Frankly, the chart that I'd been working on was really for our internal purposes, and at the last minute, we added everything to show the council. But certainly, I don't think anybody, I think everybody understands that we all report to the citizens of Mesa. That is our customer. they are the most, they are a priority, so we can certainly make sure that they are included at the top of the chart.
Thank you, Chris. I think that would be terrific. We have a motion by Councilmember Griswold for approval, second by Councilmember Summers, and this is for approval of Debbie Dollar as the Assistant City Manager. Debbie has been a very strong part of our organization, and she has done tremendous work, and I'm really appreciative of the work that she's done and that she's agreed to take on even more because she just didn't have enough to do, I guess. And I appreciate the fact that Chris looked in our organization and recognized that we have some really fabulous people. Now, he's picked three of them for these spots, but that doesn't mean that there aren't more, and he's going to be looking for more people. So I just wanted to say some really kind things about you before you all go to work and work even harder than you already have been working. So, any comments by the rest of the council here? All right, then would you please vote? The motion carries with six ayes and the mayor absent. So, Debbie, congratulations. The next one is for Brian Raines as Deputy City Manager. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, second by Councilmember Jones. Did you want to say anything in your behalf before you're sentenced? anything from the council? Mr. Raines, we're looking forward to working with you. Would you go ahead and vote, please? The motion carries with six ayes and the mayor absent. Congratulations, Brian. Debbie, I should have asked, did you have anybody here tonight that you wanted to? Is there anybody here tonight? Brian, did you have anybody here tonight? Okay. Councilmember Jones.
I am going to take an opportunity. During the period of time that we ran the Finance of the Future Committee, we gave Brian a significant workout. Brian and Denise, and I just want to take a moment to congratulate Brian. That really was a lot of work. I got a tremendous education from it, and we pulled a lot of information together, so I congratulate Brian on this promotion.
I see two supporters back there who did show up. Okay, we now have item C, which is Jack Friedline as the Deputy City Manager. We have a motion by Councilmember Griswold for approval, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Any conversation? Councilmember Rawls.
I just wanted to ask, I know Jack has a library card, I just want to know if he can read.
Jack, you have an opportunity for rebuttal. Councilmember Summers.
Tom, I know he can read because most of this came from him. So
we're going to have an electric short.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, do you know a fireman you can call to put that
out? Oh, thanks a lot.
Any further discussion? Okay, would you please vote? The motion carries with six ayes and the mayor absent. Jack, did you have anybody that was here tonight that you wanted to introduce? Okay, thank you. We're looking forward to working with all of you. Congratulations. Now let's get back to work. All right, item number four. 4A is, four is conducting a public hearing prior to the release of petitions for signatures for the following proposed annexations. 4A is annexing land located at the northwest corner of Sossaman Road and McDowell Road, 1.21 acres initiated by the property owner Los Andes Community Association. This is the time for the public hearing. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? All right, seeing none, any council members who want to speak? All right, public hearing is closed. We'll move on to 4B. Which is annexing land located at the northeast corner of Sossaman Road and McDowell Road, initiated by 1.17 acres, initiated by the property owner Rhonda White. Is anyone here to speak on this item? Council members? All right. Declare the public hearing closed, and we'll move on to item 4A. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 6A.
5-0.
Okay, there it is. 5-0. No, that's okay. Hey, this isn't so easy to do. Don't try this at home. 5-0, which is Viewpoint Restaurant. This is a new restaurant license for Viewpoint Restaurant, 8700 East University Drive, Sherwood Forest Licensing Group. Applicant Randy D. Nations. I have a request to speak by Kurt Burns.
That's correct.
And I was just going to say, did I say
no,
it right?
No, that's correct.
All right. You are representing the residents of the Viewpoint. You're the spokesperson
that's
for
correct.
Viewpoint.
That's correct.
Then we'll give you 5 minutes.
I won't need that much time.
Okay.
My name is Kurt Burns. I'm president of the Viewpoint Residents Association. I represent approximately 4,000 residents of the Viewpoint RV and Golf Resort, which is located at 8700 East University Avenue in Mesa. We would like to record our strong opposition to Viewpoint management being granted an liquor license for the main recreation facility at Viewpoint. The Viewpoint presently has two active liquor licenses, one for the golf course and one for the Terrace Green restaurant and banquet facility. We feel that an additional liquor license is unnecessary and not in the best interest of Viewpoint residents, and we request that you deny this license. The license number that we're speaking of is number 12075875. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on behalf of this license? Mr. Nation, could you turn in a card when you're done, please, so that we get one in for the record?
I can do that. Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
My name is Randy Nations. I am the applicant on this license. I'm kind of perplexed. By law, the location was posted for 20 days. These people live there, and there was nothing filed in protest of the issue of this license, which is required by law to be filed for them to have stature in this forum. The current location actually is licensed. It has a Class 7 beer and wine license. That extends from the golf course itself over to this particular area. The residents that we're aware of have requested a restaurant license so that they can have hard spirits as well as the beer and wine. That's why we requested the Class 12 restaurant license at this location. From what I've been told, there's a lot of heat being put on by the people running this location. So that the people that don't just drink beer and wine can have spirits as well as beer and wine with their meals during banquet time. And I'm here to answer any questions that I can.
Okay, thank you. If you want to just have a seat in front, then if we have
sure.
questions. Councilmember Griswold.
Don't get too far if you can, Mr. Nations.
Okay.
Is there currently, they said that there's currently two licenses already there. Is this a third restaurant or is this the same one that's they're getting an upgraded license or a restaurant license?
There is a restaurant on the opposite side of the golf course. This is actually a banquet facility that's set up for special events, banquets, and that type of thing. The restaurant across the property does have a restaurant license, and the entire rest of the property is licensed with a Class 7 beer and wine license.
So who would be operating this license? Would it be the restaurant across the way, or is this a different group of people?
So my understanding that the people that run the property itself and run the banquets for the property owners would be running the facility.
So that way, legally, when you had a Christmas function, whatever, you could serve alcohol because they could use their license on that facility? Is that the
That's correct. This license won't be active all the time. The only time it'll be active, and I don't know how often they have banquets. I assume it's a couple of three times a month, but the license would be active during those times.
Okay. Thank you.
Other council question or discussions? I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Rawls and seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Councilmember Griswold, another question?
I'd like to hear from the Homeowners Association if they can, if they had any comment, if they've heard anything different than this or if there
seems to be some maybe misinformation. I have had conversations with the State Liquor Board in the past week, and the information that I was given from the State Liquor Board is that the license that Viewpoint has in operation now are currently two licenses. There's an 07 license, which is a beer and wine license, which is in effect for the golf course and the pro shop, which allows the golf course to sell beer and wine on the golf premises and in the pro shop. They have a classification 12 license, which is for a total bar, and that is for the dining room in Terrace Green, the banquet room, the outside eating areas such as patios and that type of thing around the perimeter of the building. And the 07 license also covers the second part of the facility that is called the North Point area, which is a pool and a recreational facility. But it is specifically is does not include the ballroom, which is what this license is for. I have talked to the liquor control officer. She specifically gave me the dimensions and the areas that were located, and she told me that the ballroom, which is where this liquor license is being applied for, was not under the license which they had for Viewpoint Golf Resort, for the golf area. So there's some misunderstanding. The information I was given by the Liquor Control Board said that they did not have that license for that facility, and that's why they were applying for a 12, which would allow them to serve beer and wine and hard liquor. So that's the information that we had.
Thank you. Mr. Griswold, did you have any follow-up?
No. If you're an outside caterer and you come in and use a facility, you have to have the facility has to have a liquor license. You can't use your off-site liquor license, I understand, to use it there. So,
I'd like to clarify one other item.
Sure.
The major reason that the residents are opposing this liquor license is the fact that if granted a liquor license for this facility, it becomes illegal for any resident to BYOB, which is to supply their own alcohol for that facility. Presently, under the license that they have, this facility is set off by itself, and it is an area where residents can BYOB and not be charged for alcohol. If they are granted this license, there will be no place in our facility at the Viewpoint RV and Golf Resort where residents can use their own alcohol and bring their own alcohol. We'll be at the mercy of the manager of the park. You know, and we feel it's unnecessary, and it's totally unfair to residents to do that.
Mr. Nations,
I'd like.
I think I can clear this up. I don't know who she is, the investigator that he talked to. I talked to Department of Liquor today. The original reason we're applying for this Class 12 license is because Inspector Adam Palubeski with the Department of Liquor got a complaint that they were bringing their own alcohol onto this facility. He contacted the management, told them that that facility was licensed with a Class 7. They could not bring their own alcohol onto that premises. They contacted me then to file the application. I had filed the application for the Class 7. This ballroom was, the banquet room was on that application, as well as the swimming pool facilities, as well as the golf course, et cetera. So it is currently licensed with a Class 7. So they couldn't bring their own alcohol anyway, by law.
Okay, thank you. Council Member Griswold.
Would this license allow or not allow someone to bring their own alcohol upon a function?
There's no retail license that allows you to bring your own alcohol onto a licensed premises.
Thank you.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there is currently licensed wine and beer on this premises, and therefore any bringing of private alcohol onto it is a violation of the license.
Yeah, that's correct, and that's why the Department of Liquor was originally there, because of the complaint of that nature.
Okay. Okay, just a minute. What happens here is that the City Council sends a recommendation to the State Liquor Control Board. We don't vote up or down. Even when we vote things down, it goes off, and then they make the final decision anyway. So what we can do is we can include, along with whatever it is that we send over there, this conversation that we had. I would assume that we can attach notes, Ms. Spinner, to this.
You can, yes, the record will be presented to the Liquor Board.
Saying that we were told that there is an existing wine and beer license there and it's being upgraded. Then you can have that conversation in front of the State Liquor Control Board, because we have no way of determining that here. Okay? Council Member Whalen.
Question, Randy. Can they not have a corking charge set up to where they can bring their own wine and then the restaurant owner would then serve the wine and put a corking charge in it? That's not allowed either?
No, it's not.
Under what restaurant license is that allowed? I know it happens.
There are, you have to apply to the Director of Department of Liquor License Control for a non-licensed premises to allow people to bring their own alcohol onto the property. But there are specific regulations for that. I believe one of them has got to have a capacity of less than 50 occupancy, that type of thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Further conversation on this, Councilmember Griswold.
Yes, I wanted to re-stress that we don't vote on licenses. We make a recommendation. They vote against our recommendation all the time and for our recommendation. So we send it along. They do, I won't say what they darn well please, but I'll say they do what they darn well please. But I think giving both sides of this gives them, helps them make, and if you want to make your case in front of them, that's the right place to make it. So right now, we don't have any legal reason, if it's within the parameters of zoning, to say yes or no. But their final decision will be not made upon our recommendation tonight. It's just one of the things I've considered. You have as much voice as we do, in other words.
Would the motion makers be all right with attaching the minutes of this to the recommendation that's going forward?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second and a request to the city staff to attach the minutes of this to that recommendation. Any further council discussion on this? All right. Please vote. The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor absent. We are moving on to page 5, item 6A. This is taking action on a contract, one police mobile command vehicle as recommended by the Mesa Police Department, fully grant funded through the through UASI Urban Area Security Initiative Federal Homeland Security Program. The purchasing division recommends award to the lowest bidder, MBF Industries, for a total award of $827,755.42, including use tax. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on this item? All right, we had a full discussion on it in the study session last Thursday, so seeing no further discussion, if you would please vote. The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. We'll now move on to item 8A on page 14. This is setting December 4th, 2006 as the public hearing date for the continuation of the Mesa Town Center Improvement District number 228. It is proposed that the Mesa Town Center Improvement District be extended for an additional 5 years. The district was established in 1985 to provide enhanced municipal services for the Mesa Town Center. Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Upon the advice of the city attorney, I'm going to be declaring a conflict of interest on this item. The reason for that is I have customers of my security business that are located within the town center and are subject to the assessment. Therefore, the city attorney's opinion is that I would have a conflict, and therefore I will not be discussing or voting on this issue.
Thank you. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Is there any council conversation? Councilmember Rawls.
Just to clarify the discussion we had in the study session, this talks about enhanced municipal services. It's actually talking about the opportunity for the property owners in the district to provide themselves services above what the city provides. So the statute is described as an enhanced municipal service, but it's really talking about the district doing it. So it is somewhat of a misnomer. It's not that the city is going to spend any more money or provide any increased level of service.
Thanks for that clarification. Any other conversation on this? All right, would you all please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes. Councilmember Whalen abstaining because of potential conflict of interest, and the mayor absent. All right, we're going to move to page 17, item 9A. Give me a second to get there. This is amending sections 11-17-2 and 11-17-3 of the Mesa City Code with regard to allowing accessory retail activities, also known as country stores in RV and manufactured home parks. The draft amendment would revise the manufactured home and RV chapter of the zoning ordinance by adding a definition of accessory retail events. The effect of passing this amendment would be to expressly allow country store activities on a once-a-week, 4-hour-per-event basis, without the need for any additional reviews by city staff outside of the applications for sales tax licenses. The number of events would also be limited based on the stated frequency requirements. Other restrictions would also be added to assure that such activities are primarily for the benefit of park residents and are not intended to attract residents from outside of the park. We have several requests to speak on this item. Okay, let me take the ones who turned in cards but not speaking. First, we have Nadine Lammers, who is in support but did not wish to speak. Virginia Wendt, who is opposed but did not wish to speak. Lenore Miller, who is opposed but did not wish to speak. And now I will take those who wish to speak. Mark, I cannot read your last name. Thank you. Mark Tucker, as the spokesperson for the Valley del Oro Mobile Home Park, as a spokesperson, you're allowed 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Are you an attorney?
I am. It's been a long day.
How did I know?
Yes. Council members, my name is Mark Tucker, and I represent CalAmp Properties, which owns several manufactured communities in Maricopa County and in Pinal County, including the Mesa Regal RV Park and Valley del Oro RV Park in East Mesa. These communities have within them combined RV residents of over 6,000. It's a common practice of most RV parks in the East Mesa Valley to conduct what's called country markets. These are events that are held within the community, not advertised outside the community. They are largely social events. They are akin to a church bazaar or a school carnival, where they're conducted during the peak months where winter visitor residents are present, between November and March. These are weekly gatherings where the residents can get together, socialize, have lunches, and there are also handcrafts that are sold and some items that are sold too. Many of them are tailored to seniors and their needs. In one park, there's a vendor that sells orthopedic shoes designed for diabetics. Others sell water softeners, things of that nature. The purpose of these country markets, as I've said, are primarily social in nature. They are commercial, but they are once-a-week gatherings, and they are only for 4 hours at a time. The council is being asked to amend the city code to allow these social events as accessory retail events, because currently this activity falls outside the city code. Previously, the city code granted similar exceptions to holiday boutiques and garage sales. At the study sessions, the public support by email and attendance, I've been informed, was quite strong in favor of amending the city code to permit these type of activities. I believe in the city council report, it also is very favorable in favor of amending the city code to allow these country markets as accessory retail events. The effect would be that there would not be advertisements outside the parks. If there were actually commercial vendors, they would be properly licensed and pay sales taxes. These are not intended to compete directly with outside merchants who may also be in the area. In reviewing the report, it appears that there was a single store operator who filed a report for all of these East Valley activities. We believe that the public interest, the social interests of these valued members of our community, the senior citizens, should be permitted. For some of these people who are quite aged, these opportunities to socialize and mix are very valuable to them because they otherwise may not have the opportunity to get out and socialize and engage in these type of activities if their ability to travel is limited. So we ask you to please consider the special needs, the social needs of these citizens in the East Valley, and to please amend the city code to allow these country markets as accessory retail events to be amended into the city code. Thank you.
Thank you. Walter Wendt.
I sent an email, or not an email, but a fax to the city council. I don't know if everybody got to read it or not.
Did it screw you?
Put some things in there about the different codes and how they conflict with what you're doing. Has anybody in the city council ever been
to get on the PD thing.
Country stores or swap meets?
Which one would?
Chris said you have to.
Under this one, it has to go.
Does everybody know what they are?
The first one.
They're swap meets. They're not hobbies and crafts.
With your password.
Oh, okay.
They don't have licenses.
I'm not sure I can get onto my email, but.
Nobody has a swap meet license. They've been operating without swap meet licenses for.
No.
On these country stores for at least 7 years. They're not grandfathered in like some people think. Before the country stores, it was hobbies and crafts, which everybody considers this is what they're doing now. They're not. It's retail. They're there to make a profit. If you're making a profit, this is not a social event. You're there for profit, nothing else. The operators that go in and do these things, they're supposed to have a swap meet license. They're supposed to have the forms from the city of Mesa according to your codes and regulations. None of them ever had them. When you lease tables, they're supposed to pay taxes on them. I don't believe any of the people operating these swap meets ever paid taxes on the rentals of these tables. They may have to the city of Mesa. But some of these parks don't even have retail sales licenses with the state. So there's no way they could pay them. Second question I have is, you know, why are you rewarding all the parties that had these swap meets? Every definition and regulation on the city books say there are no swap, that these are swap meets. They have to have a swap meet license, keep forms on all vendors, and turn them into the tax department. Numerous regulations say they cannot operate in a residential area. Did any of these swap meet operators pay taxes on the lease of the tables to the state, county, or city? These are just a few of the violations by these operations. Nobody's ever been fined. Nobody's been asked to pay the back taxes for the 7 or 8 years. In letters from RV parks and on code compliance records, people from the park admit to having swap meets. They don't call them country stores. They're swap meets, just like Mesa Marketplace. This is on the code compliance papers and in letters. Non-residents going into the park and using the resident-only amenities for profit is a major violation. These are supposed to be for park residents only.
Mr. Wendt, I need you to wrap up. I'm sorry.
If they want to do commercial, let them be rezoned to commercial C2.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Got a lot more to say, and I guess I can't say it. I've asked for an appeal by Mr. Sheffield. I've been denied. Since most of the board members have never gone to these things, they don't really know what they are. And since the mayor is not here, I would ask that the city council delay any voting on this for today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this evening. Don Ecott.
My name is Don Ecott. You all know me from all the past 9 months that we've been going through this. I am self-appointed representative for all the country stores here in Mesa. We've gone over it and over and over it. Our people that work in the country stores are licensed. We require every vendor to have a Mesa vendor's license, now up to $60. When I bought mine, it was $25. It's up to $60 now. They all pay their taxes. They're supposed to. As far as I know, they do it. I don't want to take any more of your time. We've gone over it and over it. I just want to thank each member of the council for their courtesy they've extended to me and to the people that I represent and to all the senior citizens here in the city of Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for informational purposes, Mr. Wendt, when the mayor was here and he voted, the vote in the study session to bring this forward was a 4-3 vote, and that's probably why you're interested in his being here. This motion will not carry unless there are 4 yes votes for it to pass. So the mayor's being here and voting against it would not change the outcome. One of the people who voted, let me see if I can say this the right way, one of the people who voted yes previously would have to change their vote to a no vote. So one of the people sitting here tonight would need to change their vote in order for this to not pass. So the mayor's not being here would not affect the outcome in terms of the outcome that you would like to have. Had he been an affirmative vote, it would have affected the outcome that Mr. Ecott would like to have. I don't know if that's clear, but I can explain it to you later. Okay, conversation from the council. Councilmember Griswold.
I went to Mesa Regal Country Store on Friday just to see and make sure things hadn't changed since I remember them and what was going on. It was a lot of people in wheelchairs, a lot of people drinking coffee together, very little money passing. I don't think any of the vendors there looked really happy but they had a lot of craft things. There were some non-craft. There were some, you know, they're obviously made in other places and brought in, purses or whatever it is. There were a lot of things that were made there that were brought in. But most everybody was wearing the badge, where they were from, drinking coffee, saying hi to friends have come. It was a socialization hour from what I can see. Now, this is early in the season. It's not full swing in January where everybody's back yet. So this is the beginning of our beautiful weather and people coming back. But one of the problems before is some of these activities didn't seem to be banned, and we can argue with that, and they didn't seem to be permitted. And those, we did the same thing on Christmas boutiques and whatever. What we've asked to do is define this. What is it? Where is it allowed? Where is it not? And keep it from spreading and just saying, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. Basically, this allows you don't advertise with signs on the outside. You only run it once a week. You do it 4 hours a day. And most of these are run for 4 to 5 months maximum. It's a reasonable start, I think. It's probably not as well as some people would like and probably a little stricter than other people would like. I think it's a start at least defining it and not just saying this is going to go on, we're just going to ignore it. We're going to recognize it and at least have some rules about it. So I'll be in favor.
Thank you. Other council conversation? Councilmember Summers.
I'll just repeat some of the statements that I've made in the past about these, and I'll be brief. I've been in support of the country stores. I think they provide a recreational opportunity for some of our seniors and winter visitors who do visit here. The current language of the zoning ordinance does not expressly permit or forbid this retail. What this will do is clarify some of that to ensure that the city will be collecting its sales tax revenue. The economy, the market isn't fair. For that matter, we could have folks selling these very items on eBay over the internet. Not only are there, does that seem an unfair advantage to our folks who have brick and mortar stores, but in the end, the city doesn't receive any of its sales tax dollars, and a very large portion of our general fund revenue is generated by sales tax. So as long as we are collecting a sales tax for the city, that's what's important. But ultimately, having been one of these in the past, there's just not a lot, doesn't seem to be a lot of transaction happening here. I missed the one on Friday, unfortunately. I would have liked to have seen that, but I was out of state. So I will be in support. As a matter of fact, I'll make a motion to that effect.
We have a motion by Councilmember Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Jones.
Then I will make a motion.
Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Mr. Brady, can I have your assurance that our code enforcement people will check these businesses from time to time to ensure that the dealers are licensed?
On the conditions that are in place, yes, we will be glad to do that.
Thank you.
Other council conversation on this? Okay, I just wanted to make note of why I pulled this off and why I will be voting no. It's consistent with my vote in study session, not because I'm opposed to country stores, but because I think that as a craft opportunity for people to sit down and share food together and enjoy each other's company, I think it's a wonderful thing. They have, in my mind, moved over into the swap meet category, and we've created an unlevel playing field here for existing businesses in the community and existing swap meets. I am a strong supporter of senior citizens, and I think it's great for them to have these opportunities, but I will be voting no. It's consistent with my previous vote. I think that some of the stipulations that we got put in place make me more comfortable with it, but I'm still not in support of it. Anything else? All right, would you all please vote? The motion carries with four ayes, two nays, council members Walters and Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right. That takes us over to page 20, item number 11, items from citizens present. Do we have any speakers?
We have none, Vice Mayor.
All right, then I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Motion by me.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Make those motions.
Thank you.